This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Our guy Barry's for Luga is back in business after a well-earned brief vacation. Barry, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good, guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are. Where are you? How is Colorado? Yeah.
Not in Colorado, but the vacation means you got to drive to the middle of nowhere in Virginia to pick up the dog from the kennel. So Yeah. So the dog's sleeping in the back seat because she's been working out with other dogs for a better part of 10 days, and I'm driving back to D.C.
Tired.
Gotcha. All right. You and I, everybody loves this time of year. The madness is upon us, but no real madness. No real upsets. You know, there's no college that everybody had to Google to find out where it is going to the Sweet 16. It's mostly big school, big conference teams. What do you make of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
Well, when you think about whether there's a cause and effect, I mean, I think it's reasonable to say that the portal is a cause for this kind of thing. Not that it's not going to happen every year. Like, there's not going to be a 12 seed next year or 13 seed the following year, whatever. But the reason that those upsets used to happen, or one of the reasons that they used to happen, was because those mid-majors or low majors, whatever you want to call them, you know, they didn't have kids leaving early for the NBA. A lot of times they were teams that stuck together for 3 or 4 years, and you didn't have a Jacoby Gillespie like leaving Belmont to play at Maryland the very next year. What happens, I think, to some of those schools is that their best players become really, really, you know, they expose themselves as Power 5 or Power 6 conference players, and they can just not only go and play immediately, but go and get paid immediately. And, I'm not going to say that 1 year proves that we're never going to have Cinderellas in the future, but I think there's a real chance that the number of upsets over time goes down because those best players from the lower conference schools are going to end up playing for the better program.
Does one of those lower schools win a little money 1 year, decide we're going to pay 4 or 5 people, maybe 6, and they end up going to the tournament and winning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, where does the money come from? I mean, what school has a benefactor that can do that? I mean, this is all still taking shape, and whether we get a cap on this stuff coming up, like maybe that happens. But, you know, I don't want to, like, sound the alarm like the NCAA tournament is never going to be what it once was. But I think, you know, if people fell in love with the upsets, I think they're, you know, if you're one of those people, there could be concern that they're going to be fewer rather than more in the future.
Guess who you're on the same side on with that take, Barry?
Who's that?
Stephen A. Smith said this morning, if this continues, it will be the death of college basketball.
Well, I didn't say that.
No.
I mean, if I could get some of his 100 mil, I'll be on whatever side he wants me to be on.
That I agree. Let's talk about your alma mater. The Dukies look pretty damn good, man. How impressed have you been?
Well, to me, it's kind of, and I haven't watched a ton of them this year, but to me, if Tyrese Proctor is their second best player, and I think he should be their second best player behind Cooper Flagg, then they're a really, really tough out. Because the kid, Knipple, who's a freshman, can play, but Proctor's been there. Like, he's been on these teams. He's had these expectations. Obviously, he shot it well the first two games. But I think his overall game was really, really good. They recognize a lot of stuff. They see mismatches. He's been there, like I said. If he plays like that, then they are very, very, very tough to beat. And I would, you know, they basically flicked aside a Baylor team that has NBA players on it. Really talented, had been injured a lot of the year. It was a really good game for 15 minutes, and then Duke decided, you know what, we're going to win this thing pretty easily. I'd love to see them, you know, against they would be a regional final against Alabama if it gets that far. That game would be pretty, pretty exciting because there's a lot of athletes on the floor between those two teams.
Hell yeah. Can you confirm a report that Coach K called the NCAA to send Maryland out west so they didn't get a chance to be in the East and play Duke in the Sweet 16?
I heard you say that, and I hadn't even thought of it. I mean, my disappointment was that they went out west to Seattle, where we employ a columnist, Jerry Brewer, so I didn't get to go with the Terps the first 2 weeks. And then staying out in San Francisco rather than playing in Newark, regardless of who the opponent is just – I think it's too bad. I mean, there would be a ton of Terp fans driving up 95, the Jersey Turnpike, to go to Newark. It's going to be a lot more difficult to get to San Francisco to see two teams from Gainesville, Florida, and College Park, Maryland, play in San Francisco for the right to go to the Elite Eight. Is a little backwards to me.
Well, that's a little crazy that those teams are way over there and Duke was playing in right at home.
Yeah, they got to play in Raleigh.
Well, I mean, you knew that when Raleigh is an option, is a first and second round site, and Carolina or Duke is a one seed, they're going to play there 100 times out of 100.
Right.
Like, that's just the way.
Raleigh,
I mean, that would be
Greensboro,
true.
Charlotte, any of them.
Ohio State would be in Cleveland if there was, you know, if they were a one seed. Like, those advantages are earned. I think the stuff that JP's talking about is more interesting, is like, why flick Maryland a four seed that earned a four seed out west rather than keep them a little closer to home. I thought that they would be in Raleigh and then go to Newark if they advanced. Instead, I don't even think they're coming home. They're just staying out west.
Talking with our friend Barry Sferluga here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can give Barry a follow at Barry Sferluga, Sverluga. You know, Barry, you said something that the Terps are staying out there. Are we sure they're allowed to after Kevin Willard said he wasn't allowed to stay in New York on Christmas?
You know, it's a really sad state of affairs that you couldn't spend another night in New York. Here's what I would say about the Willard situation, and I might kind of start typing about this a little bit later this afternoon. But he, you know, we get sick of the coaches saying, look, I'm completely focused on this team. I'm not considering other jobs when it's clear that their agents are out there, you know, either pursuing things or having stuff come to their table. And they are, in fact, distracted by it and dealing with it. Willard, you know, his frankness last week was a little bit alarming, but he's saying the quiet parts out loud. He's saying, right, you know, this is what I need stuff in writing because I know if I don't get it in writing, it might not happen. And I'm going to look into this too. I mean, that practice facility that they're talking about, and I'm not into the big arms race. Like, why do you need a $50 million practice facility when really all you need are about six rims that are 10 feet high with backboards on them? Like, who cares? And a weight room. But that practice facility he's talking about has been kind of a project that they've been trying to undertake since about midway through the Turgeon years. I think he's right. Like, you say you're going to do this, you got to show me you're going to do this. And I do have legitimate pulls in another direction. I think we get a little rattled when coaches are overly honest about stuff they aren't normally honest about. Kevin Willard seems to be very, very willing to say completely frank stuff in public when he's asked directly about it. I don't know if admirable is the right word there, but at least he's not dodging the issue. He's kind of taking it head on. However ridiculous that comment about not being able to spend Christmas Eve in New York was.
Yeah.
He just has an upper hand at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a leverage play, man, and he's got it right now.
Well, and particularly because Derek Queen did a Derek Queen thing, an NBA thing, and banked one in from an impossible, like, the leverage went up, and he's well aware of that. I mean, JP, you're a Maryland guy, like, you know what you expect from this program. This is the third Sweet 16 appearance since they won the title in 2002.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the standard that this program should be at. I don't think there's any Terp fan who thinks, like, a Sweet 16 appearance once every 8 years or whatever that is, that's not what it should be. And I think even though last year was a very, very lousy down year, I think this guy has a better chance of getting them there more consistently than whoever would be following him would have.
He seems – what Gary Williams had – Lefty had this I didn't really experience the Lefty era, right? But he had this charisma and bravado and was a character, right? And that worked at Maryland. And then eventually you got to Gary, who just had this gigantic chip on his shoulder, I'm going to beat you, mindset, right?
Work ethic.
And you need that to work at Maryland. Maryland's not the easiest damn job. There are some advantages, but there's some disadvantages too. Willard seems the closest to that kind of mindset in the post-Gary era. Turgeon was just a different dude. I agree with you. I hope this is Willard using everything right now, including a damn close to miracle shot from Derek Queen, but using all of it to get this program where he thinks it has to be. I hope that is what happens, but I've also made my peace. Like, if this is just him going to Villanova, all right, we'll survive. Like, because to me, what I find... You mentioned this practice facility. This is like the great white whale of Maryland basketball. Everyone's in search of getting this practice facility built. I would rather, and maybe I'm crazy, and maybe this isn't how the money works, blah, blah, blah. Now, in the NIL era, bleep the practice facility. Just put that money to work signing players. Just have more cash to sign players. I think in the we're getting paid for this era, the arms race of great facilities is going to be far less important than the actual the check that clears every 2 weeks.
I completely agree with that. And I don't know enough about, like, what buckets are you allowed to pull money from and all that kind of stuff and how close they are to a salary, a cap on what you could spend on talent. But you're right. I mean, go back to before the season, I went to Maryland Basketball Media Day, and Willard was asked, I can't remember if I asked him or not, it's like, you got talent, they got Rodney Rice from Virginia Tech, they got Gillespie from Belmont,
right?
They got transfers in, like, that they higher quality than they had the previous year, and he was asked, how did that happen? And he said money. I mean, money with a period afterwards. Like, we had money to spend on players. And that is another quiet part said out loud that I think is best said out loud, because fans deserve to know, like, okay, your program is being supported by your university and by donors and fans in a way that matters into, who you see on the court and the talent level you see on the court. So I don't know, JP, if there's a fundraising that's, for facilities that's different from NIL to pay players and get talent. But if you're asking me to choose one or the other, it used to be that facilities lured players and the Texas football locker room had, individual lockers that were almost like living rooms for each kid.
Right.
Now, like, yeah, give me the check with the most zeros, and that's where I'm going. Like, that's a different game we're playing now.
Dude, I mean, Queen said that last night in the presser. Like, oh, what do you think of Coach Willer? He's like, well, he
gives us the money.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, it's I don't know. I think we got to recalibrate expectations. I do wonder if, like, if you're able to give to a construction project at a school, if that has different tax ramifications. I don't know. Who do you like to win it?
Well, I mean, I had Alabama beating Duke in the regional final just because it feels like an SEC year. That played out over the first first two rounds with seven SEC teams advancing. Pick one of Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, and even Kentucky played well to win it all. I mean, I don't think any of those would be counted on as a surprise. But who played the best the first two rounds? Duke played the best the first two rounds. They haven't won a title in, 10 years. That seems kind of weird. It's a big gap. I don't know. The thing I would fear for a Duke fan is I very well remember the 1991 UNLV team that was undefeated heading into the semifinals in Indianapolis. They hadn't played close games, and I think they got in a close game against the first Leitner team and Duke that year, and yeah. They didn't quite know how to handle it. There's a little bit of that in this Duke team, which just, leads the nation in margin of victory, and the close games they've been in, like Clemson beat them, they've lost three times. I don't know. It's not Coach K drawing up the play in the huddle there anymore. Like, John Shire hasn't done that either. So that would be my concern for a Duke fan, is like, if you get in a tussle with one of these SEC teams that can almost match you for talent, are you prepared to execute in the final, three or four minutes of a tight game?
Totally. I'm talking with our friend Barry Sferluga here. Is it still shocking, surprising to you how bad the ACC is this year outside of Duke, or is it just sad? It's kind of sad to me.
It's both, and it's I think maybe we've talked about this before, but if you line up the ACC schools in alphabetical order from top to bottom and ask me to name the coach at all of them, I couldn't name half of them. I don't think in a sport that is so dominated by the constant that is at your school, Roy Williams at Carolina, Tony Bennett at Virginia, Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, like, who, even the ones that are only there a decade, like Herb Sendek was at NC State for whatever it was, 12 years, like, in a sport that's defined by those constants, the ACC has lost a lot of clout. And, the irony of it all is, the ACC college expansion, I mean, conference expansion was going to happen at some point anyway, but somebody had to start it. And the ACC started it in 2003, going out and pursuing football money and geographic footprint by trying to get Miami to match up with Florida State and have a big heavyweight football rivalry. Well, football won out, and football money is winning out, but the ACC is losing because that rivalry didn't take off, and the SEC and Big Ten have become the behemoth conferences. It's really going to be interesting where this basketball-first, basketball history conference ends up in 10 years. They still have North Carolina and Duke to hang their hat on, but, I mean, Carolina had to play in the first four, and there's a lot of people in Chapel Hill who don't think Hubert Davis is the coach of the future there. It feels very, very rickety, very held together by duct tape.
It does, man. Speaking of rickety, held together by duct tape, this tweet, listen to this, B. Rob Doster, who runs a popular college basketball podcast, just tweeted out, Troy's Tayton Conerway, the Sun Belt Player of the Year this season, is entering the portal. His agents at Saros Partners told me, Conerway averaging 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists for a team that won the Sun Belt and hung with Kentucky in the NCAA.
You're rolling, bro.
So the transfer portal's open. There's a dude on Michigan. It's Scottie Pippen's son. announced that he's transferring out. They got a game in 3 days. And this dude is announcing that he is in the portal with his agent the same way the Deebo Samuels reworked contract deal gets announced by Adam Schefter. It's professional sports, folks. Open your eyes.
It is.
Oh, it's a 1,000% professional sports. And I think, I mean, my idea is, I'm sure other people have this idea, but why are we even making these kids go to class? Like, if they want to go to class and get an education, and that's part of the package, the financial package, that they get a scholarship in addition to whatever cash they're making, that's great. Good for you. You want to take advantage of a chance a lot of kids would kill for to get a free education. Tremendous. But monitoring GPAs and class attendance and, like, you think Derek Queen is going to one class whenever this tournament run is over? No. He's getting himself in the gym. He's preparing for the draft. He's preparing for his future. I don't think there's
as
any
he
reason.
Should.
Yes, for sure. But because there's passion and history and tradition in college sports and saying, like, I'm a Clemson fan. I went to Clemson. I grew up a Kentucky fan. I wanted to go to UK. My parents went to UK. Like, that's all very real, but I don't think there's any reason. So we can use the schools to front these minor league athletic programs. I don't think there's any reason it needs to be tied up in academics or class unless the kids want it to be. It's not about that. It's not a secondary pursuit, an after-school pursuit. It's a primary pursuit for these kids who are now getting paid and are professionals.
You're right, because back then I don't think it was really – that much. Once a guy knew he was going pro, he wasn't going to class anyway.
Right. Barry, we got to run, man. Maybe we'll catch up later in the week. Thank you, bro.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
That's our guy, Barry Sverluga, talking best moments of the tourney, mixing in a little bit of NFL news. Nobody go anywhere.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7, the Fan. All right, the results are in. Shout out to White Brian. He graded the brackets, and here's what I can tell you. He should be ashamed of himself. He should be embarrassed. Matt Valdez, Junkies producer, overall confident man, dead last. You should be ashamed of yourself, Valdez.
But he's the only reason you're not dead last.
That's irrelevant. I am not in last.
You're second to last. That's awful.
Not last. Game first, you're last. I'm not last.
You're last out of this group from this show.
Now, this is a tricky time to look at things, right? Because what matters sort of is how many Sweet 16s you have right, how many Final Fours you have right. And the leader of lost Final Four teams already. Be sure I'm looking at this right.
Is you?
No.
Who?
James Andrew Mullins the 7th, a.k.a. Professor Landini. Landville, you had St. John's and Wisconsin going to the Final Four. Are you ashamed?
No, as I've said repeatedly, college basketball is a terrible sport.
That's tough.
I'm even going to go out on a limb and say this. Doing well in a bracket, embarrassing. That just says you have poor taste in sports.
You were in first place the first day.
Yeah, I watch real sports, though, B. I like football.
You were pretty fired up about being in first place. You were a little fired up about it.
What happened?
I wasn't that fired up at all, actually.
I don't know.
All right. So, all of the people that are significantly involved in the show are doing very poorly. Jeff, of all people, shout out to Jeff Too Funny, is doing the best of the show's regulars. Jeff has 47 points, about middle of the pack. But, Jeffrey, you also have North Carolina in the Final Four. They lost, bro.
Yeah, I thought they were going to come in hype because, you know, how they got put into the tournament. I thought they were going to come in hype, make a run, didn't do well. But it's okay.
All right, now listen. Valdez is in dead last place, if anybody wants to know. White Brian, the show's college basketball expert, is in fourth to last place, right? Valdez only has 36 points. White Brian only has 41. And you've already lost Gonzaga from your Final Four, White Brian. Pretty bad, dude.
Yeah, the Zags definitely let me down. It all focuses on BYU taking out Bama to get to the Elite
Eight.
You're
supposed to be the college basketball guy, man. That's terrible how you playing.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the college basketball guy.
Yeah.
Brian Mitchell.
And JP, you're supposed to be the gambling guy.
Well, I'm doing that. So B, I think B has a real path to win this thing if one thing happens.
What?
I think if
if
you,
Texas Tech wins,
if
it's
you
all
are
over.
Proven right about Texas Tech, you're going to, not so fast, sweetheart. Heavy Metal Chris also has Texas Tech.
Yes, Heavy Metal Chris is killing it.
So in
Heavy Metal
place,
Chris and Aaron are killing it.
Tied for first place, Heavy Metal Chris and Aaron, saleswoman.
And Aaron just fills hers out just rather quickly. Gave me the money, bam, right there that day.
Yeah. What she said was, I'm going to show y'all fellas how to do it. She said that to me right as
we
she turned it in.
We overthink everything. We think we know. We don't know a damn thing.
So
she just picked colors.
I mean, maybe she just knows the teams and just let it rip. Aaron in first place with 51, tied with Heavy Metal Chris. Aaron's Final Four, a lot of people have this Final Four. Auburn, Maryland, Alabama, Houston. So Aaron has that. Who's it? Tischler has that. Me and Valdez have that down in the basement of this thing. If Texas Tech wins, B, you'd have to catch Heavy Metal Chris on some points. But he also has Sparty getting to the Final Four, where you have Auburn and Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would like your position better, but if Auburn plays Sparty, that might be a do or die right there. Wildcard Scotty in second place, tied for second place with 49 points.
Actually, it's tied for third, if you really look at it the proper way.
Oh, because there's two people in first.
Yeah.
Okay, tied for third.
Just say third. It sounds a little bit worse, so we don't need to hear him talking.
I think tied for third sounds worse than third.
Tied for third.
I don't know. Which one do you
I'm
think?
I'm just saying, don't want to say tied for second. He's tied for third.
Okay, he's tied.
Say three.
He's tied with Chris Kerwin for third.
Yeah,
but Kerwin has already lost a Final Four team. He had St. John's. And then Biagi also had Gonzaga. Greg's in there. Greg has Sparty and Maryland. I don't know. It's going to be interesting how this goes down the stretch. Our Cannon Club guys are kind of middle of the pack. Actually, Mike is doing quite poorly, and he has Carolina in the Final Four. Tom a little more in the middle. He had St. John's, though. White Brian, if you had to handicap this, who do you think's going to – I think Aaron's in the best position here.
Yeah, I think Aaron – B. Mitch, though, if Auburn can get by Sparty.
Yeah, if – you're supposed to speak a little bit more, like, high on that. That's your damn team, right?
I'm focused on one game at a time.
Okay.
I think, what we're sleeping on is Texas Tech. because they get to play Arkansas, who's a 10 seed. Now, they're not a traditional 10 seed with Calipari and the money they spent, but if Texas Tech gets through, Texas Tech would play the winner of Maryland, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this bracket has Maryland, and the folks that don't have Florida.
We need Maryland to knock out Florida, and Jeff is all done. You know, that's all that needs to happen.
Jeff is... Yeah, I mean,
Maryland, knock out Florida.
But the fact that Jeff already lost Carolina limits a lot of the points he can make.
Need to knock out Florida, too.
Sure.
Let's go Terps.
Let's go Terps. That's a simple one to me, B. I am in on that.
Jeff is over there giggling, dog.
All right, we got to make some bets. There's a Nats game today. Nats-Orioles from Navy Yard starting at 1 o'clock. So we're getting really fired up for that. You get to hear all of that right here on 106.7 The Fan. It's raining in Navy Yard, and we're trying to figure out what is the plan with this Nats baseball game. I have zero information. Brian, do you have any information?
Nope.
Landfill? Any information?
Only the game's not starting at 1. Other than that, nothing.
Who's over there? Is Stallion or Toby over there?
I'm not sure.
Jeff, fire some texts off. If Stallion or Toby are over there, we need boots on the ground reporting. Let's go to the source of the delay, what we have to look forward to.
Go to the source. Drop on your knees. Stop praying. Go to the source.
I meant let's just call somebody that's there.
I was going to the source.
That's the big source. I don't know what's happening over there. We're hoping that they play because I think it's fun. I tell you, I also think it tells you a lot about the two organizations. So the exhibition game today was scheduled to be with the Nats and the Orioles. That strikes me as like maybe some sort of goodwill between the two teams now that they've resolved the television rights dispute. And I think that's what most people expected was for the Nats and the Orioles, once Angelos was out of the picture, to kind of be able to work forward together.
Huh?
It's maybe they always play in the exhibition. Maybe I'm just wrong. I don't know. I know they always play in the regular season. But what do you think happens with the Nats TV rights? You think what everybody locally, the prevailing theory is that the Nats end up on Monumental Sports Network on Ted Leonsis's cable channel that I work for, you used to work for. We used to do a ton of Redskins programming over there. It used to be called NBC Sports Washington. The Junks are on it. What's it? Yeah, I know. The Junks are on it every morning now on the TV side. So there's a prevailing theory locally that that's what'll happen. But I think what people are unaware of is nationally, Major League Baseball, like actual MLB, is on a huge push to bundle local television rights. And their thought is, all right, if we can get the Brewers we get the Brewers, the Astros, the Rangers, the Mariners, the Blue Jays, the Pirates, the more teams we can put together to then take to the market and sell to Amazon or Apple, because baseball ratings, like it's easy to look at what happened with them losing their ESPN deal.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN was just like, dude, it ain't worth that much money. But locally, regionally, baseball kills. More people will watch an August Nats game and they're 12 games under 500 than will watch a Wizards and a Caps game combined. Like, baseball on a local, regional level kills it. So the thought process for Major League Baseball is, all right, all these RSNs are dying. If we put them all together and then sell that all to a streamer, that streamer is getting millions of views from all over the country, and it makes their product way more in demand. So it's easy to think locally here, but there's a national plan in place too. What would be more appealing to you, and what do you think happens?
I think if Ted is still interested in this team, be on monumental. And I would think that after having all those years of not being able to recoup and get the money he's supposed to be getting, that that's the way he would try to keep it.
Yeah, I think the new deal won't have any impact on the old one. But I wonder, I would think maybe there's like an ownership, not change, but if you're the Learners and you see what Ted has built now with the teams and his own television network, and they know they can own their right to go to baseball and get this like super streaming package. Now, the problem for baseball is because of the individuality of all these deals, the Yankees are never going to bundle their rights.
Not at all.
The Mets aren't going to. No. The Red Sox, the Dodgers aren't going to.
They're already making money. And they're not going to try and
share it.
Partner up with somebody else, and then the other person won't be making the amount of money they're making. They don't want to do that.
Right. So baseball's got a fundamental problem in trying to collectively.
The NFL, they share equally.
Everything.
Baseball not doing that.
What's also remarkable about the NFL, and this is starting to change a little more rapidly than maybe I expected, but how much of NFL games are just on free over-the-air television? It used to be 100%. Now it's 85%. Between Monday Night Football's on ESPN, on cable, and then you know, like the Christmas games are on Netflix.
Doesn't it show on both ABC and in ESPN?
Is that, I don't know. Monday Night Football, you're saying, does?
Yeah.
All right, well, Thursday night's on Amazon.
Yeah.
There were a handful of games on Peacock.
I had like two or three of them.
Yeah. There were the Christmas Day games were on Netflix. So there more and more there are games appearing on other services that you have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just such a testament to the NFL's power that they can just put them on free over-the-air television and still dominate.
Nigga, they make so much money, dog.
I don't know this, but I think one of the worst decisions, and I know they got paid, but I think it just takes them off people's radar. When MLS went to the full Apple TV package, that's the only way you can watch them. Doug, I'm not pretending like I watched a lot of MLS, but I would watch some DC United here and there.
Yeah.
And then when it was $150 or whatever to watch, but I got all of it, I had no interest. Because I'm never going to sit down and watch San Jose versus St. Louis. I don't even know if those are teams anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to see baseball not do that, but what do I know? Speaking of not knowing stuff about baseball, at some point, there's a Nats game. We'll let you know when we know anything.